When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. My name is Scott Benjamin. I'm the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And my name is Ben Bolin. I hang with Scott with Thick as Thieves. When I'm not writing videos, I am here on this show, Car Stuff.
Very good. Very good. I wonder where you're going with that.
I did too.
Yeah, I thought you were going to come up with another job title or something like that.
Oh, no. You know what? I talked to Human Resources, and it turns out that I probably should just stick with the main job that I have.
You can't be paid for all those jobs is what you're saying?
Right. It turns out that it is actually not kosher for me to go around appointing myself to various positions of responsibility in the office.
I see. So you're not really CEO anymore. You had self-appointed yourself CEO, I believe.
Yeah. It turns out that that's a very good question, Scott.
Called several meetings.
I did. And
fired some people.
Fired a couple. They're back. They're back because I'm not actually a CEO.
Yeah.
Water under the bridge, my friend.
Yeah. Sorry, I threw you there.
You know what? I was just thinking about my CEO days. But I'm back. What I want to talk about today, if you're cool with it, is something that we have not fully addressed on our show before. We've done... How many vehicles have we done, Scott? We've done
10 or 12.
10 or 12. We've done different engines. We've done different, you know, boats, submarines, looked at planes, rockets. We have yet to look at bicycles.
True.
Furthermore, we have yet to look at human-powered vehicles.
Bicycles fit right in there, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, very good.
They do. So where do you want to go with this?
I mean, man, if you're talking about human-powered vehicles, a huge list of things that we can include in this, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. So we're not talking about just bicycles.
No.
We're talking about anything that you can, push, pull?
Yeah. Anything that you can take, that you can directly convert human energy or activity into a force of transportation, I guess.
All right. Okay.
That sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it actually did.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Official.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I've got a little rundown I'll do. We're talking about things like the kick scooter. We're talking about roller skating. Roller skates are human-powered vehicles.
Hang on a second. Let me check these off my list as you go. Go ahead. Okay. Go right ahead. No, I just don't want to double up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Also, all these variations of cycles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave. I know you've got some probably good ones up your sleeve.
I've got a couple.
Yeah?
Okay. A couple, yeah.
And I also went ahead and counted canoes and kayaks.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, you're talking about some watercraft. Mm-hmm. What about the pedal boats? Remember those that you rent on vacation?
Good call. Yes.
Or you can buy them, I guess, for your own property if you have a little pond or something.
Or in my case, you could always try in vain to talk your parents or your friends into going on one with you.
Very good. Yeah, I've had some bad experiences on pedal boats before. They just don't seem to work.
For you, or just for me?
No, I mean, I can remember being a small kid, you know, on vacation somewhere where there's a lake, and, you know, we try one out, you know, we try to go across the little bay area there, and you've got the hand stick control in the middle with the rudder, and you're pedaling like crazy, and you just don't seem to be going anywhere.
Oh, man.
I don't know if it, I mean, we're talking like the first time I tried these, the late 70s. The most recent time I've tried these, probably the early 90s.
Wow.
But as far as I can tell in that 20 years or so, there was no advancement.
Just to play devil's advocate, we do have to admit it is possible that you have only run into broken pedal boats.
That could be.
Because, man, I've zipped on those things.
Really?
A few times I'm allowed to get in them. Yeah.
No kidding. Maybe I got to do this while I'm an adult. You know, like, well, maybe that's yeah, that's a thing. Just didn't have the pedal power.
Yeah, maybe that's
could
it.
Could be.
Maybe, yeah. I guess also it depends on who you're sitting with, too.
True. You got to be even, right?
You got to be matched.
Yeah, you got to be evenly matched.
Or else you're going to have an awesome circle, circular pattern on your paddle boat.
That's right. Like a one-legged duck.
Yeah. You know what? Have you ever actually seen that?
A one-legged? No, no. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. It's okay, though. It was at a sanctuary, wildlife sanctuary.
Oh, okay. That's
so
right.
Brought it up a
That's
notch.
That's right. Yeah, good.
You know what, though? It may be important for you to... No offense, Scott, just a little constructive criticism may be important for you and I to get better at pedal boats and at human-powered vehicles because they very well may be one of the transportation choices of the future.
I'm shaking my head no.
I know.
No.
I know.
You know, I've seen a lot of streamlined bikes, you know, the kind with the full enclosure.
Yeah, that fiberglass shale.
Yeah, exactly.
Shell. Whoa. Did you hear my Tennessee come out?
Shale.
Shale.
Yeah, they're enclosed fully, and they've got, you know, a little canopy, you know, if you can peek through.
Yeah.
Look like they're going to tip over, of course.
Yes.
You know, if you slow down, they will. Some of them will.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I there's another one that we'll talk about much, much later that someone's proposing as another daily transportation solution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even more odd than what you might think. I know. I'll leave it to the end.
All right. Yeah.
It's got a strange name, strange vehicle.
This is our that's our big finish.
Yeah, that's the big finish. But
what do you have on your list?
What are you talking about? Like for daily transportation, you're talking more than just bikes, right? Are you saying other alternatives, like maybe cars, things like that?
Okay,
car-like devices.
I think I see where this is going. I meant primarily bicycles.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. What's up your sleeve?
Oh no, I'm just talking about. I was just talking about travel in general and that, you know, I can understand bikes being there. I can understand, you know, some of these different design bikes, like the recumbent bike, you know, why that's beneficial and why, you know, it's better for posture, et cetera.
Mm.
What about the streamliners, not streamliners like the two wheel streamliners, but four wheel streamliners in that, you know, have you seen these? They're human-powered cars, really. But really, you're talking about just a bicycle with a covering.
Okay,
You know, and they've got manual windshield wipers, you know, that you hand crank with your hand back and forth. Or, you know, maybe an electric motor or something like that. But there's been a variety of these throughout the decades, you know, where people thought, well, here's my chance to make, you know, a very efficient car. What happens is, though, that, you know, the added weight of the vehicle and a lot of times they're very efficient. You know, of course, they can... Get around town, no gasoline at all.
Right.
But you're in your own human power. And you've got an extra seat next to you that, you know, you can either have a passenger that helps you pedal or you can, you know, put a bag of groceries or something there.
Sure.
But, you know, when it comes to a big hill, riding in other traffic, getting a license for this thing, taking it on the highway, you can't do any of that.
Going in inclement weather? Yeah,
exactly. Weather. Well, that's one thing that they're relatively decent at, but not snow.
Right.
You couldn't do it on ice and snow.
Mm.
You could do it in rain. That's possible. Not great, you know, because, you know, there's very little contact patch with the wheels on the road.
But also, what about the interior? I mean, imagine the weight that it adds to put in AC or heating.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't have anything like that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. These are so bare bones. It's just really a fiberglass shell, a piece of Lexan for the windshield. And, you know, of course, all around, you'd have to have something like that. It's usually flat because that's easiest way to build these things.
I love that you know it's Lexan, man.
Yeah,
by the way,
stuff like that. You know, it's just I don't know. If you take a look online for human-powered cars, you're going to find a lot of different things. Now, you'll find one very recent that's been sort of called the Earth Day car, the Earth Day Project. Have you seen this thing?
Yeah.
You're kind of nodding. Yeah,
yeah, I'm not.
You've seen this. What do you think of that?
I support Earth Day as a an important celebration and sort of reminder to take care of the planet.
Sure.
However, I am not the biggest fan of the Earth Day car.
Okay. All right. Likewise. And but I have seen it in use. I've seen a YouTube video of the guy that invented this thing. And it looks like it can move along pretty good, but he was showing it on flat tarmac, you know, no problem at all. But I can imagine hills give you a lot of trouble in this thing. It seats up to four people, and they use kind of a rowing motion to get this thing going, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So everybody's kind of rowing, and you sit – the back two passengers sit facing rearward. The front two sit forward.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how steering is accomplished in this thing. I didn't watch carefully enough to see that, but I did see that he was shifting in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have some type of gearing. You know, you can use it for getting up hills. And now I believe that there is a version of this that has two electric motors added to it, which can produce up to 4 horsepower. And if you're just a single rider, which means you don't have much pedal power, I guess.
Yeah.
Or if you want to call it that, rowing power. I don't know. You can use it in all electric modes. You can use it like an electric car almost. You know, if you've stored the energy in the battery via your rowing motion.
Ah, yes.
And if you are, so inclined, you could do it in any combination of, you know, either your own power, human power, and electric, or any combination of that. So you could use, you know, electric power most of the time. You could assist it. You could do, you know, rowing most of the time and just assist yourself with the electric power, whatever you like. But if you're a single rider, you can get around too.
Which is weird because technically it's a hybrid at that point.
Yeah, it is. It's a human hybrid vehicle. Yeah, which is strange.
It's like a cyborg.
Yeah, exactly. And it has a 62 mile per hour top speed.
That's pretty good. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty darn good.
That's, I'll be honest with you, man. I only saw still photographs of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's way, way better than I thought it would
be. Yeah, you wouldn't think looking at this thing.
No, you would not think that.
Not one bit. But apparently it's it can get around pretty good.
Before we move on, I've got to tell you why I think it's possible that human-powered vehicles could be a viable alternative. Look at that.
Please do.
A Cheshire grin over there. I'm going to do an all right job. You might tear this apart, but you know what? It's all for the betterment of ourselves, our listeners. In heavily urbanized areas, right, we see a higher incidence of bike riders, even skateboarders, rollerbladers, stuff like that, all of which qualify as human-powered vehicles. Even in Atlanta, which Atlanta is not the best city to ride a bike within because we have a lot of cars. But even in Atlanta, and even more so in very crowded areas of the world, such as, you know, Beijing or New York, people have to use bicycles because they simply can't afford to own a car and park it, as we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So given that, more people live in cities now than live outside of cities, and that we see that trend continuing, I think in the future we're going to see a lot more people using bicycles.
Really? Just a congestion issue then?
Congestion and cost, because as an individual, you're a lot more likely to spend a couple $100s on a really nice bike than spend time and energy fighting to get a public transportation system or something.
Oh, true. Yeah, or park your own vehicle and pay several $1,000s for a parking spot, plus the cost of the car, of course, which, you know, can be very high.
Yeah.
And insurance levels are high in big cities. So, yeah, I guess I could see owning a car being a very expensive endeavor in a big city versus owning just a bike where you can carry it up the stairs with you, or park it, you know, at a bike rack downstairs. I can understand that. I get that.
But with that, though, that's sort of a long-term argument, and I'll admit it depends on some conditions, you know, but we can't gloss over the cons of human-powered vehicles.
Well, yeah, so. I mean, for one thing, you're riding a bicycle in New York in January.
Right.
You know, good luck with that. Sometimes they get 2 feet of snow.
Or Atlanta in July.
Exactly, yeah, when the humidity is 112%
and the
temperature is 153 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with that right now. So, yeah, there's definitely some cons to human-powered vehicles. And, of course, if you have one that you know, relies on, you know, one or two people pedaling that car or that vehicle in some way, and you've got a child with you, then it's all up to you, and you're carrying whatever weight that entire vehicle is. You don't have two adults with you. That's the downside.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you think of?
You are an unreliable source of fuel.
True.
because you have no way of guaranteeing a steady stream of energy.
True. And you know what?
What's
you just reminded me of one other thing. Human-powered helicopters.
You know, I was wondering if one of us was going to bring
Have you seen this? Have you seen the human-powered helicopters?
I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen one in action.
This is incredible. It's incredible. I've seen some video of this thing.
I wish someone would try to get me on one of those, Scott.
It's
never.
Well, of course, you know, there have been human-powered airplanes.
Yes.
And they've gone great distances, really.
Sure.
They're made of very, very lightweight materials and, you know, very, very – I guess you'd just call it flimsy.
I'm not going to get on one.
No, I wouldn't either. They're very, very I'd say flimsy, but they're well-engineered. And they do what they're supposed to do. Pedal power these vehicles and they go, I believe – boy, I'm trying to look for a distance here, but I don't see one right off the bat. I'll find it in a moment. But talking about these helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance, go online and take a look at this human-powered helicopter. And this is probably not what you're going to expect, but there's one called Yuri, I believe. Yuri 1, I think it was.
Yuri 1. I've
is that
heard
the
of
one?
Yuri 1, yeah.
Okay,
I've heard
of it. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it in motion.
I'm going to show you a quick little picture. I'm going to point it in your direction there. But this thing you know what you think of a helicopter, right? The blades
right.
are overhead.
Yeah.
And there's a structure below, and you're kind of in that structure. Not the case with this one.
It's just in the center of a gigantic rotor.
It's in exactly, and this is in a gymnasium that's enormous, an indoor gymnasium. So there's no wind at all. An enormous place, like two or three or four ball courts in a row, lots of room, and the rider is sitting in the middle of this big thing. It's got eight blades that are looks like supports that go way out to each edge of every corner of the room, and he pedals this thing in the middle. From this platform that he's sitting on, and all eight blades begin spinning, and they're not going to contact each other. They're timed so that they're on gears, so they won't strike each other. But there are eight blades, and the blades are all spinning very close to him, very close to each other.
Uh-huh.
And the thing does lift up off the ground and I think the video that I saw was like 12 seconds or 20 seconds or something like that.
Weird.
Not very long, and he's pedaling like crazy to keep it up there.
I imagine he is.
But the only thing that kept this one, he could have gone longer from what I saw in the video, but it looked like it was starting to drift towards one of the walls. And they wanted him to just stop pedaling so that it dropped down rather than damage the vehicle. But it can be done. A human-powered helicopter can be done. Now, this one only went, 2 feet off the ground at the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think others have gone higher, but there is a prize that's being handed out for someone who can develop a human-powered helicopter right now.
Really?
Yeah, there's a big prize. And it's in the neighborhood of, $250,000 or $500,000 or something like that. It's getting
that's big.
Bigger, yeah, because there's some genuine interest in getting this project up.
Dude, this is such a good segue right here, because we also should mention that human-powered vehicles have a number of contests and challenges.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's
cool.
not just the helicopter. The HPVA, which sounds like some sort of virus, right?
Yeah,
an acronym.
Yeah.
It's
doesn't sound so good.
It's the Human-Powered Vehicle Association.
Oh, okay.
And they actually have North American Human-Powered Speed Championships.
Oh, cool.
To get the fastest – this is from their website to combine the best in technology with the best in athletic ability to obtain the fastest and most efficient human-powered vehicles in the water, on land, and in the air. And they've had some good luck. I think the right now the reigning world champion is Sam Whittingham from 2002, who had a recumbent bike with the fiberglass shell that we're talking about.
Oh, okay, a streamliner.
A streamliner. 81 miles per hour.
Whoa.
I know.
Pretty fast.
What kind of crazy mad scientist engineer was building that?
Yeah, no kidding. That's got to be pretty fun to ride. I would 81 miles an hour on a bike.
Yes, sir.
Really
and
cool.
There are two land speed prizes currently open. There's the Dempsey McReady hour record for the first single rider to equal or surpass 90 kilometers they have on the website, which translates, let me do the math, 55.924 miles.
You know what I was just thinking about this bike?
What's that?
You just did the translation. And very good. I was just thinking about this bike.
What's that?
At 81 miles an hour, is that little, the little bell on the handlebars, the ching-ching?
Yeah.
Does that even help you at that point?
I think it tells people behind you what happened.
When you say, ching, ching, passed on the right.
Because it's after you zoom past.
Yeah.
They're looking around, they're thinking, what was that? And they hear in the distance, ching, ching.
Because of course they're in the city doing this.
Because
right?
Of course, you're
breaking the world record.
Uphill, in the city.
Yeah. In where the stoplights and everything, yeah.
And then, there's another one for, the Decimach for exceeding or equaling 70 miles per hour over 200 meters.
Hmm, okay.
So they've got challenges that are specifically geared to promote innovation.
You know what? I just found the information about – I didn't mean to cut you off, but I found the information about the human-powered helicopter competition.
Dude, lay it on me.
It's the Igor Sikorsky human-powered helicopter competition.
The inventor of the helicopter?
Exactly, which means, of course, you know, they're interested in the human-powered helicopter now at this point, mm-hmm. or the foundation is really. So they're offering a $250,000 award to whoever can do this. The goal of the competition is to successfully fly the first human-powered helicopter to achieve an altitude of at least 3 meters – during a hover that lasts 60 seconds. Yeah, but there's a bunch of rules. There's a whole list of rules. But at least you have to hover at least 3 meters for 60 seconds, human-powered only. And for that, you can get $250,000. And there may even be more. I think there's more bonus money thrown in there. Pretty sure there is. I think there are other, you know, supplemental awards given as well.
Probably like illustration and concept.
Yeah, but that's the big one. That's the big one.
That's crazy because when we talk about this, maybe we should have said this earlier, we're talking literally about the first vehicles ever, which had to be human powered mm-hmm. out of necessity. And it's amazing to me on a personal level to realize that there's still this wide frontier of human powered vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, there's a sanctioning body. You've got the sanctioning body in front of you there, HPVA or what was that? IHPVA. That's a sanctioning body for events. I mean, it's like the race associations, you know, with the NHRA sponsoring mm-hmm. drag racing or, you know, the FIA for racing federal, never mind. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just saying that I can't believe there's a sanctioning body for human powered racing. I just had no idea it was out there. Mm-hmm. And, I just think it's really interesting. I mean, I didn't know that it was that competitive.
I was thinking of getting a bike because,
really?
I feel like I would use it because I live in an area where it is plausible for me to bike to things.
You take the train, right?
I take the train to work now, which mm-hmm. is beautiful, by the way. Sometimes it gets a little crowded.
It's beautiful.
It's so relaxing to be able to read a book during the time in which I would be stuck in traffic.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I understand.
I think I am kind of putting on some rose tinted glasses.
Yeah, you're romanticizing it just a bit. I think
that's the word. That's the word. Yeah. I'm acting like it never smells bad on there, which it does sometimes.
I bet.
I wish there was like an iPod for my nose, but yes, I've been considering getting a bicycle, and I was wondering if you are currently a bike owner.
I have one in my basement.
In your basement? Huh?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you would totally use the go-kart first.
Dusted it recently, so it's looking pretty good right now. It has two flat tires.
Oh,
I haven't ridden
machine.
It in a while, but I used to ride it quite often.
Oh yeah,
I did. Yeah, and I'd probably take the go kart over the bike at this point.
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't know, man. Maybe if I could get a hold of that 80 plus mile per hour bike.
Oh yeah, well, build one yourself.
I should. I should just build. That should be my new job.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't have to be 80. You could go 75. Don't put too much pressure on yourself.
You know what? I got to aim for the stars if I even want to reach the clouds, man.
Very good.
That was the most cliche thing I've said. I think, Scott, are we about ready for the big finish?
I think we are.
All right.
All right. So you ready? This is one of the strangest human-powered vehicles I've ever seen. And the idea at the end of this thing is maybe even stranger.
All right.
There's something called a Schwebe.
Is it a German word?
No, it's not. It's from New Zealand, actually. It's in New Zealand.
Okay.
You can go Schwebing in New Zealand. And I'm not kidding. This is a monorail for human powered vehicles is what they call it. And it's a recumbent bike. You got to picture this. It's a recumbent bike that doesn't touch the ground. It's in a capsule that hangs below a track and you ride on the track.
Oh, weird.
So you're pedaling in this clear capsule
mm-hmm.
above ground you know, below a track. You're hanging below it like, you know, the roller coasters you'd see that hang below the track.
Yeah.
And it's a very low resistance, you know, low rolling resistance track, very fast. And it's kind of like a sport or an activity there that they kind of get into. It's like an event. You know, like, you know, you go to the water park or something like that.
Right, yeah.
You would go Schwiebing.
Go to the Schwieb Park.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know what it's, you know, combined with, if it's, you know, a mountain attraction or what it is, but
yeah.
It's really strange. I mean, it's all in meters here. So they have two 200 meter long tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And you ride, and the weird thing about these is they kind of crisscross over each other at points, and they go next, you know, side by side. Sometimes one will go up, one will stay down, you know, vice versa.
That's cool.
It's neat. So you can kind of race someone next to you. They can put as many as five on a track, and they actually ride better if you have two kind of bumped up against each other. So if you're on the same track with another one,
mm-hmm.
it's like the drafting principle in NASCAR, I guess. You know, two cars are faster than one car, and it's less effort for two cars to travel than one car to travel, even though they're extremely aerodynamic.
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, they're really, really efficient vehicles. I mean, as far as the amount of output you have to put into them to go quickly.
What a weird word. Schwieb.
Schwieb. Yeah, that's right. It's S-C-H-W-E-E-B. Schwieb. And, it says up to five riders per track.
Mm.
This low resistance, you can go up to 45 kilometers per hour. And the pods kind of, what's cool about this is the pods swing out on the turns like the roller coasters do.
Oh, that is
and
cool.
So the faster you go, the more you swing out. And I think they have a maximum of about 60 degrees is what they say. But that's swinging out. That's pretty far.
Yeah.
So it's got to be pretty fluid feeling ride.
Oh, man. I want to go Schwieving so bad
now. I think
now.
I do too. Yeah. You know, there's someone here in the office that has gone.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I found out about this many, many, many months ago.
I almost thought you were going to say many moons.
No, many moons ago, yeah. Now, here's what's crazy about this, okay? Remember, you can go Schwieging in New Zealand.
Wait, that's not the crazy part?
That's not the crazy part.
All right.
The crazy part is that they're looking at this as a possible future transportation device.
Really?
Well, that's the idea, is that you could someday, and this is the term they use, someday you could go Schwieging to work.
You know, I've got that skeptical expression.
Yeah, I know.
On my face.
And, you know, I'm the same way, but the idea would be that you would have control of your Schwieb only at one point where you could pull off onto a side platform.
Ah.
Either, and I don't know how this would work, if you would just leave the pod there and then continue on your way to your building or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a train stop, only you would exit where you need to.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's more like a car system at that point, really.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You would leave your pod there and let somebody else take it. Or, you know, you have your own and maybe there's a way that they can file them. You know, you can slot them away like in a parking spot. And then take the same pod home, I guess. I don't know.
I wonder if there's a way to make group. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead.
I wonder if there's a way to make group pods where there would be because it seems like it'd be really difficult to have one person using one pod getting out. And then whoever is next in line hopping in.
Yeah. So you could have like a small family pod or something like that.
Right, yeah.
I mean, why not? But you'd have to have, you know, they're very, very efficient. But if you've got a bigger pod, you'd have to put more effort into it if you were a single rider.
Yeah. And I'm such a jerk, man. If I was in a family pod, you know, with three or four other strangers and I see someone not pedaling.
Because that's the thing. Like you can draft in these, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they said that this article that I read addresses this. They said if you're in a group of three pods that are in a row linked up and they're going really quickly, even if the first person stops pedaling, the second person stops pedaling, the third person could keep them going at a relatively reasonable pace.
Mm-hmm.
Just the one person pedaling for all three, because it's much more efficient with three than two, or then one, rather.
That's so cool.
I know. It's really kind of amazing when you look at them and you see these vehicles. It looks like a lot of fun as a recreation event, but a recreation, I don't know, traction.
Yeah.
But
is it a daily driver?
I don't think so. I don't think it is.
At least not yet.
I mean, but that's their idea, is that, you know, someday you could Schwieb to work or
man,
school.
You know what? You are a man of your word, my friend, because that really did. You got me with that
one.
Well,
that's a new one. You weren't expecting to hear
Schwieb. I wasn't. I was not expecting to become converted to Schwiebian ideology.
But now it makes you want to take a trip to New Zealand just to do that, right?
I already wanted to go.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I wish I could Schwieb over there right now.
That's a long way.
It's a long way, but I'll just get two other pods in front of me.
Definitely be an overnight Schwieb.
It's an overnight Schwieb.
Yeah.
I guess that's good for us to end on, man. But we need to ask our listeners if they have any experience, especially with Schwiebing.
Oh, yes.
But you know what? Any other human-powered car.
Sure.
Or vehicle.
Yeah, like a Streamliner or maybe you've taken a ride on this human-powered vehicle that we're talking about, this human car.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of interesting because, I don't know, it seems like the guy's friendly enough. He might be offering rides up to people. I know journalists have been on it.
Maybe he picks up hitchhikers.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
That would be a crazy story.
Yeah, it would be.
And then also, what's your take out there on the internet on the idea of human-powered vehicles in the future? Do you think it's a viable alternative? Do you think it'll happen? If so, why or why not? You know where we're at. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter, carstuff-hsw. Let's see. What else?
Blog.
We've got a great blog.
And we've got the website, of course, which has a bunch of different topics all over the place on automotive, anything automotive you want to find out.
Mm-hmm. And if you have an idea for a future topic, an awesome story, even a restaurant recommendation or a joke, why don't you send us an email at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.